premises. No more ownership. Chicago's waving bye-bye. Bye-bye, Rogers. Traded to the Jets. Overjoyed with happiness. Chicago's waving bye-bye. Chicago's waving bye-bye.
Tune in.
Indeed. So long to Aaron Rodgers as he goes to the New York Jets. Is a Rodgerless NFC North. We're talking about it here on the Kaplan J-Hood Morning Show, here on ESPN 1000, also streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Coming up at 9:18, we'll hear from Albert Breer from SI.com, and Monday morning quarterback will get his thoughts about what's happening with Rodgers, the NFC North, and obviously the NFL draft, all part of the mix in our next segment with Albert right here on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. If you trust in Ryan Poles as much as you say you do, as you tweet us and you tell us about what you think the Bears will look like, why do you believe he can fix this? Bears were a three-win team last year trying to fix this. And as I look at Aaron Rodgers, Cap, we know how terrific he was. Was at 24-5 against the Bears in his career. A seamless transition between Favre and Rodgers as far as dominance that the Packers have had against the Bears. And now I'm looking forward to the tide turning. But before we turn the page, let's just talk about Rodgers as a quarterback, because my feeling is that Aaron Rodgers, the last 4 or 5 years, he put himself in the spotlight. We know he was the leader of the team. But do you really lead when you are not sure you're going to come back? You're not sure if you're going to be there. You're out there smoking on your ayahuasca, putting yourself into a dark room for a few days. It doesn't seem like there was full commitment there on either side, on the Packers side or Rodgers side. So the divorce is imminent. But he was a great quarterback, though. Think about the numbers and the names. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Dan Marino, John Elway, Drew Brees, Fran Tarkenton, Russell Wilson, Philip Rivers. All his numbers are equated to those quarterbacks there. Top five quarterback I've ever seen. But I believe the end is coming. I believe that it's not going to work out with the Jets with him, because it's not about him. He'll realize that in New York. It's about you in little Green Bay. But in New York, you're just a guy. You're just a guy.
No, he's more than that.
No, he's just a guy. Now, at this point in time, because nothing's been accomplished yet, if he's able to win a championship, he'll be as big or bigger than Namath.
He'll be bigger than Namath, because it's way more impactful with the way things are now. If he leads them to a Super Bowl championship, oh my God.
Big if. Big I, big F in that if. Big if. You got to get over the organization, and you got to actually buy in. Something he has not done the last few years.
I want to know how managed. I like, we work for bosses. I would think that if you and I and the bosses got so sideways that they would say, all right, let's get together. Let's go to dinner and let's talk. Let's work this out. Show's doing well. Station's doing well. We would like to all be together. They don't just let it fester. How does it get to that point?
Ego. Always ego. If you ever wonder what's wrong with an organization, it's always two things. It's money and ego. All the time.
But in the end, though, you all want to win.
Well, you tell the Quinnville Hawks that. Tell the Jordan Bulls that. Always when there is a divorce, there's always issues with money and ego. Oh, I'm the reason for the championship. No. I'm the reason for the championship. And I was underpaid. No, I was underpaid. You win together. Here's where it's not happening. Golden State. That's the only place where it doesn't happen. Because that is a tight unit. Well, a great organization, great ownership. They keep guys together. They're going to run this thing till the wheels fall off. Bulls, they had their run. But what did it come down to? Ego. Money. Blackhawks, what did it come down to? McDonough. I'm the guy. Quinnville, no, I'm the guy. The player's like, well, what about us? It all was going to come to a head. That's the reason. And for Green Bay, the whole thing with him complaining and bitching and moaning about what he wasn't getting. Hey, you know what? The Packers got tired of it. And him ghosting the franchise. If you're a Packer, you got to be around the facility. You want to work hard. You just don't go away for a while and come in July and be like, I'm here. You haven't done enough. You ain't Tom Brady. There's a difference. Brady could do that if he wanted to. Didn't. Rodgers did.
Yeah, problem. One of the things I would love to be able to sit and I'll never get to, but I'd love to sit and ask Aaron, by not going to minicamp or OTAs, aren't you in the end hurting yourself? Because You've got young receivers. You got a team. It's not like you've won five Super Bowls now. You're trying to get back there.
Yep.
2011 was the last time they were there. That's 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. So my question to him would be, you didn't feel a responsibility as the front-facing guy of that team, the guy making the most money. You want to win a Super Bowl. You got to show up. I don't understand it. I really, it would be as if you said, I'm not coming to the pre-show meetings. I'm rolling in at 6:59, 59. I'm doing 3 hours and I'm out. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me during the breaks. Just do the show. Really? That's not how you win. So that would be one question I'd like to ask. How does it get to that point?
So how does this affect the Bears? That's the bigger question for you and I. He's out now, finally. Okay. The big mystery. The big guy that you can't get past. 24-5. Now he's gone. Now it's the Jordan Love show.
Right. I don't know that it affects this next year that much for the Bears. They didn't go to the playoffs anyway, Green Bay. They're not a great team. We don't know what Jordan Love is. The Lions? Lions are loaded. They haven't proven they can win. Minnesota? We could say that Shea has them finishing dead last in the division. Boy, that's a pretty precipitous fall from 13 wins to the
Well, not anymore. Okay, let's also be fair. They had a negative point differential. It was the first time in NFL history.
Whatever. They won 13
games. They
should
have been an 8-9 team based on the expectation.
Okay, they were 13-4. To say they're going to finish dead last in the division, is
I
that
would
what
adjust
you
that now that Rodgers is gone. I would say Green Bay finishes last now.
And who finishes second in the division?
I would still say it's probably, for me, Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota, Green Bay. In that order.
Wow.
Oh, this upcoming season?
Yeah.
Oh, got to wait a minute on the Bears. Hang on.
Yeah, I just
don't. I think Minnesota's not good. They weren't great last year. We saw that in the playoffs when they finally lost the knife edge game. Like, it's going 11-1 in one score games. It's impossible. Going 13-4 with a negative point differential, it had never happened before.
You can't separate the regular season from the playoffs, though. Yes,
but I can say the regular season wasn't as good as the record looked, and then we saw that in the playoffs.
It is what it is, though. When you look back at history, no one will put asterisks next to every win.
Right, but that's where predictive becomes different than looking at the result. I don't think they were as good as a 13-win team last year. They won 13 games. I can't take that away from them, but I don't think they were that good. So that's where I think the Bears have a chance to get better than them.
If you take three away, they still probably win the division.
Oh, I'm taking way more than three away. No. They should have won eight.
I'm talking about me, not you, me. Me. I'll take three away and say that they could be a 10-win ball club and still win the division. Now, again, it's not going to look good in the postseason, but I'm never going to look at it to, hey, you are very lucky to win any games in this National Football League. It's difficult to do that. Overarching point, it's hard to win in this league, correct?
Very hard.
Okay, so what they did there is, on a razor's edge, they were able to win games. You'd rather win those games than lose them. All I'm doing is looking at facts. I'm funny that way. I just look at facts and just say, I knew that they would fall apart in the playoffs because I know that there is a ceiling to their success. If I took three wins away, they'd still be formidable to deal with the NFC North. Man, are they as good as some of the other upper echelon teams in the NFL? No. But they're still going to be dealt with because the Bears still need to be able to build. The Lions should be the class of the NFC North, but the Vikings will be right there as well. Those are two playoff teams that's coming out of this division.
I mean, if you look at their roster versus the Bears roster, right now, today, Minnesota's light years more talented than the Bears. Light years.
Yeah, but that won't be what it is on opening night. Again, like, they might cut Dalvin Cook. They could lose Justin Jefferson, potentially, if things go awry. And I'm not saying that I think that's going to happen, but there are people, and I know you don't hate Colin Cowherd, who have suggested it could happen.
Hate Colin Cowherd. I don't know where you get that.
Or not hate him, but, you know, we know what he's doing. He's not reporting anything.
Justin Jefferson is not going anywhere.
But, Cap, you get my point. Like, this is a team that, and again, Hoodie, I think I'm looking at facts, too. It's negative point differential. Expected win-loss was 8-9. I don't think they're making vast improvements. In fact, I think they might get worse. And that's where I'm taking wins off the expected. I think you could see a 7-win team in Minnesota.
Well, they're going to have a slew of injuries to get there to 7.
Well, they had to have a slew of luck to get to 13. I just don't think that they have that.
So you know what I just did? Met you in the middle and gave you 10.
That's but why. I don't think they're meeting. I think the middle is eight because that's what they should have won a year ago.
And then this year's roster tells you what.
And they've got three picks in the top 50. I mean, they've got a more proven quarterback. If Dalvin Cook's there, he's better than any running back on the Bears roster. Justin Jefferson might be the best receiver in football. K.J. Osborne's pretty good. T.J. Hockenson, better than the guy we have at tight end. And I like Cole Kmet. T.J. Hockenson's a beast. I mean, they got a pretty solid offensive line. Their defensive line could use work, but Danielle Hunter, he's better than any guy we got.
Ultimately, we're looking at what the NFC North is, what is with the Lions and the Vikings, and what could be with the Packers and the Bears. Because ultimately, with the Bears, it's a 3-win ball club. For them to be a 9 or 10 win team would be a miracle.
A miracle.
A miracle. Even in this NFL, just based on the roster. What I'm saying is that the Vikings, who have been a perennial playoff team, will be there again. And here's the thing. It's a consolation prize because they won't go far because I don't believe in the quarterback. But I'm telling you that Detroit and Minnesota, more than likely, especially with Rodgers out now, will make the playoffs. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm with you. I think it goes Lions, Vikings, and then there's a gulf, and it's Bears and Packers.
Right. And by the way, I want to make sure it's clear. I'm not masking the hurt. I know what this is. I've been through enough losing Bears seasons to know that when I see a roster, and again, just look at rosters, look at talent. Do you have enough to be able to get there? And the answer with the Bears is no, not yet. Not yet. I'm not going to rush it through.
Agreed.
My feeling's the same feeling for Ryan Poles. Poles says we're not going to rush this thing. I'm not going to rush it either.
Agreed.
As much as I want them to win yesterday, that's just not in the cards for them right now. This is the same conversation from last year. It's like, oh, new general manager, new head coach, 10 wins. Well, I saw the schedule too, that middle part, and those are too many coin flips for me to buy in last year.
Agreed.
I
was stunned there were people thinking that team could win 9-10 games. Stunned!
I would have never said that. And I'm not even telling you they can win 10 games. I think 8 is probably where you sit if you're the Bears. Maybe you luck into a couple razor wins and you get to 9. That's you're a 500 ball club. 8 and 9, you're a losing ball club. 9 and 8, you're just above 500. Like, I don't think they're great shakes, but I don't see why they can't get there. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs necessarily unless the NFC shakes out well. But outside of Detroit, frankly, I don't think any of these teams in the North are good. I think the Packers are horrible. I think Minnesota has regression like an MF-er due to them. And the Bears, the roster's not done yet. I kind of think if Poles is who we hope he is, this is a team that should contend to win 8-9 games next year. That's not a great team. That could be a losing record at 8 wins.
Yeah, it's just. I think that's a year early. It is. I don't even see the schedule to say that though. I only look at rosters and look at difference makers on a roster. And you look at that Bears roster. I look at the depth chart every day, and I say, who's it going to be? Especially on the defensive side of the football, you still haven't answered what you want to do on the defensive line.
Agreed.
All right. So that just. To me, I look at Minnesota and I say, well, at least I can pick out a few guys and I say they can make a difference. But as far as what they're going to do for the long haul, no.
What about DJ Moore? Now we have an impact player.
And then?
Well, I don't know. You got to see the draft. You're right. But you got to see the draft.
And by the way, that's got to be an A-plus draft if that's going to be the elixir to change everything for this Bears
team. When
you
have 10 picks, it better be. You better figure out a way. At least better than Minnesota cutting half their starting defense.
So you only have one in the top 50. Let's just be clear here.
That may not be true on Thursday.
My trade-off?
I can only talk as of today.
Mm-hmm. It's fair. All of this is eyewash and hand-wringing until we get to the settling of the rosters after Lake Forest. Until we see exactly who they're going to go with,
right,
and then the season and schedule rollout, I can't wait to see it. A lot of great conversation about the Bears and the NFC North. We'll continue that with Albert Breer. That's next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap'n Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports,
What bird is it?
Time to hear from Albert Breer with us here on the Cap and Jay Morning Show. Albert's from SI.com, a Monday morning quarterback. He joins us in the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Albert. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Awesome.
Glad to get your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, now a Jet, finally. 40-plus days have been waiting. So what do you think that looks like with the Aaron Rodgers with the Jets? How much can they win with Aaron?
Well, I mean, they're certainly set up like where it looks like, you know, they have flexibility. Some of their best players are on rookie contracts. They've obviously been able to bring in some, you know, infrastructure that'll make them feel comfortable, you know, with Alan Lazard and Nathaniel Hackett as the OC. So, like, if they get a fully engaged Aaron Rodgers, this is Brady in Tampa or Manning in Denver, where, you know, like the guys really, really kind of got an edge about him and proving that he's still got something left. And I think there's absolutely a chance that this winds up, you know, putting the Jets in the hunt in an AFC that's got Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and, you know, all of these different quarterbacks in it. You know, that said, you know, the question of engagement is a real one because, you know, I know the Packers didn't feel like they got the best version of Aaron last year. And so, you know, revenge can be a powerful thing. Will revenge carry Aaron through, you know, the entirety of an NFL season? It's a fair question to ask. And, you know, I think it's one that's, you know, pretty important when it comes to where this thing is going.
All right, let's talk about our Bears because Thursday night, finally, can we stop with all these ridiculous mock drafts everywhere? Mock draft 8.7. Enough. Let's get to the picks. You wrote, and I'm very intrigued by it, that Paris Johnson Jr. is a guy Ryan Poles really, really likes. Do you think he's there at pick 9?
I think it's questionable. Like, I view 9 as like Paris Johnson's floor. He's one of these guys that I think the NFL's a little higher on than people realize. And so I think if Will Anderson's not there at 3, then I think Paris Johnson's in play at 3 for Arizona. I think Vegas could take him at 7. And I think there are teams that are talking about trading up too. You know, we've heard about Pittsburgh. I've heard they could be going up for an offensive lineman. Would they make a move all the way up to go and get Paris Johnson potentially? You know, Mike Tomlin's pretty connected with the Ohio State program, so it wouldn't surprise me if Paris is somebody that they would view as, you know, worth going up to get. So, you know, I think he's certainly in play for Ryan Poles, but I don't think it's any sure thing that he gets there. You know, I think ideally either Paris or Skoronski is there for the Bears at number 9. If those two are gone, I think you start to open it up and say, okay, like, what's the next group of offensive linemen look like versus defensive linemen? Is Jalen Carter there? If Jalen Carter's not there, how do you like the edge rushers that might be available there? I think there are a lot of, you know, I think it sort of opens it up if Skoronski and Paris are both gone.
Albert, have you heard any significant movement amongst the quarterbacks in the first round?
I don't know. Movement's a funny word when it comes to this because, you know, I tend to think like we're sort of still catching up to what the NFL thinks on a lot of these things. But, you know, I would say, you know, if you want to look at like the entirety of the class, like I think Bryce, you know, obviously, you know, was sort of the baseline for the Panthers when they traded up to 1, and you know, he's helped serve. So he'll be the number 1 pick. And then, you know, I think you've got guys who've got holes like CJ. The question is, you know, his athleticism, it's like how willing is he to run? How much can he create? Is he just sort of what you see, or is there more? Did that Georgia game unlock something? Anthony Richardson, you know, is a big projection. Like, he's got all the talent in the world. He's a good kid. I think he's a pretty sharp kid. But he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And so you're projecting a lot with him. And he needs to get a lot more accurate in the underneath areas. And then Will Levis is sort of this big, strong, like, tough quarterback who, you know, I think hasn't done great in his interviews. He's a little stiff and a little, you know, just kind of, you know, the instincts and the feel are sort of lacking a little bit. So,
You know, I think they all have holes, and you know, I think CJ is probably going to go somewhere in the top five. I think if Levis gets past Indy at four, he could really wind up sliding. And then Richardson's sort of a wild card. Richardson could go as high as five to Seattle. You know, I think he could slip all the way, you know, down to maybe around 20. So I think Levis and Richardson are real wild cards when it comes to where they're going to go.
So to follow up with what Jonathan asked you, so this Reddit post goes up, and Will Levis, if you bet it, 24 hours ago was 50-1 to be the number one pick in the draft. He's now down to 4-1. 4-1 overnight. That's how much money is coming in on Will Levis to go number one. Do you see any scenario Carolina stuns the world?
Carolina puts a lot of stock in the S2 test, which has been a matter of debate over the last couple of weeks. And Will Levis did really well on the S2 test. That's the only piece of evidence I would have to point to Will Levis going number one overall. I mean, but who the hell knows? You know what I mean? Like, the Baker Mayfield thing didn't really happen until late in the process. I think the Panthers are taking Bryce. And I think the Will Levis thing is interesting just because, I mean, so much of the buzz over the last couple of weeks runs counter to what we've sort of seen, you know, and what NFL teams have seen over the last couple of months and the feedback I'm getting from teams. And by the way, guys, I hate the whole smokescreen thing because, I mean, just put it this way. I've been doing this for 18 years. I have a pretty good idea of who I can trust and who I can't. And there are a lot of people I trust who've been killing Will Levis. So I think there are a lot of teams that are a little, I mean, miffed by the idea that, like, he could wind up going over some of these other guys. Now, he does have fans. There are, you know, people out there that really like him. I just say the majority of people I've talked to aren't wild about him. And there's some people who don't think he belongs going the first round at all.
I want to get your thoughts about the Packers post Aaron Rodgers. So when you look at that roster, what does Jordan Love and Gutekunst have to work with for the next couple of years?
Well, I still think it's a good roster. You know, I don't like, you know, I don't buy into this, like, you know, like there's nothing left there. And Aaron was in this bad situation. They need better injury luck in their offensive line. There's no question about that. So, you know, Bakhtiari, Elgin Jenkins, like, they need to have those guys healthy. That's part of the equation. And they need development from Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, a receiver. But they've got a good back. They've got a good running game. And the defense, like, you know, there are real pieces on defense, you know, and real homegrown pieces, too. Guys like Rashawn Gary and Jair Alexander. So are they what they were a couple of years ago, you know, when they were the number one seed? I think back-to-back years, right? No. But I certainly think that, you know, if Jordan Love plays well, it's a team that should be in contention for a playoff spot in the NFC.
Let's go back to the Bears, because they really haven't addressed much on the defensive line. They had the worst pass rush in the league, and they brought the kid in, Walker from Tennessee, as a free agent, but that's about all they've done. If you, Albert Breer, talks to everybody who was running the draft, you taking an offensive lineman, which they desperately need a tackle, or are you addressing the pass rush?
It sort of depends on who's available to me, but if all things are equal, Cap, like, you know, I think you fix the offensive line. I just think it's so hard with a young quarterback unless you like unless you have those positions tied up and you got a good group in front of the guy. And if you look, like, I think one of the things that's sort of overlooked, if you look at some of these guys early in their careers, one thing that you'll see in common with a lot of the quarterbacks who succeeded early in their careers is they all had great tackles in front of them. You know, like, I mean, Carson Wentz, when he was rolling at the beginning, had Jason Peters and Lane Johnson. You know, Jalen Hurts has had Jordan Mulata and Lane Johnson. You know, Patrick Mahomes had Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz early in his career. Lamar Jackson had Ronnie Stanley and Orlando Brown. You know, like, it's really a commonality when you look at it, like, in the quarterbacks who've made it early, it's those teams have had those positions tied up. And I think this is such a big year for getting a read on where Justin Fields is going and what his ceiling is, that if it's close, like, I just think offensive line makes the most sense.
Albert, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Enjoy Thursday.
It is Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com with us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry.
we call the car X-Men.
Coming up next, who is your, that one guy, that one that got away, Cap? The one that got away.
I've got one.
You got one?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about her coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox lost their fifth straight game last night, 5-2 in Toronto. White Sox are now 9 games under 500. First pitch tonight against the Jays, a 6:07 start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs are back in action tonight at Wrigley Field, taking on the San Diego Padres. Justin Steele on the mound, a 1.44 ERA in 4 starts. Blake Snell pitching for the Padres, 0-3 on the season. The Lakers beat the Grizzlies last night in overtime to take a 3-1 series lead. LeBron James tied the game to force overtime with 0.8 seconds left. LeBron, the first Laker since Shaq, to have 20 points and 20 rebounds in a playoff game. The comments from Dylan Brooks, there were none. He ducked the media for the second time in a row. Don't want the smoke. Jimmy Butler had one of the all-time scoring performances in playoff history yesterday as Miami takes a 3-1 series lead against the Bucks. Jimmy played 41 minutes, scored 56 points, including 20 straight in the first quarter and 20 in the fourth quarter. Butler tied for fourth all-time in single-game playoff scoring behind Donovan Mitchell, Elgin Baylor, and Michael Jordan. Harry Belafonte, actor, singer, activist, passed away at the age of 96. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So glad you're with us here on this Tuesday morning. We're with you till 10. Then Mike Greenberg takes over from 10 to noon. Carmen and Yurko, 12 to 2. Carmen Yurko, 12 to 2 in English. 2 to 5:30 will be Waddle and Sylvie riding the White Sox baseball as the Sox take on the Jays. Mike Clevenger on the mound for the Sox. And don't forget, you can watch our show not just on Twitch, but also on YouTube as well, YouTube.com. Just check for the ESPN Chicago channel, and boom, you are locked in all the interviews and our live feed of all the shows, YouTube.com. And look for the ESPN Chicago channel. So, Cap, there's always regret as a sports fan. You see a favorite player, you get emotionally invested in a player, and you say, man, that player can be on my favorite team forever. And sometimes, because of free agency or if there's a disconnect between the player and the organization, that player leaves. So who is your sports one that got away player? That one figure in sports, she's like, man, I wish that player was still on my team. The one that got away.
The one that got away.
Yeah. Who is that, Katie?
Dylan Cease.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Cease.
Mm.
We gave up a number one starter who's the head of White Sox minor leagues? Chris Getz?
Yes.
When asked of all the prospects in your system at the time when they were prospects, Aloy and all these different guys, Luis Robert, you got to bet on one guy to make it. Dylan Cease was his answer.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Quintana? Jose Quintana.
Yes.
A 2017 Buick Regal, and you gave up Aloy Jimenez, good player, can't stay healthy, and Dylan Cease, an ace. You're starved in this game to have aces. Most asinine trade I remember in a long time. I was so mad the day that went down because I'd heard some rumors. No way they're giving up Dylan Cease and Jimenez. No.
Well, in hindsight, you didn't know. You didn't know.
That's not my job to know. That's Theo's job to know.
But you know what I'm saying is, like, you didn't know. I mean, you read about him. You might have watched a game or two. But you definitely read about him. You didn't know he'd be like an ace of a staff at the time.
He was their number one pitching prospect.
Oh, you've been down that road before.
Right? But again, when you give up that type of capital, you better be getting back an, oh my God. Okay, we gave up who?
Mm-hmm.
But we got that. We got who? Jose Quintana. Yeah, how'd that work out?
So who is that one sports one got away? That one person in sports, you're like, boy, we let that one get away. I mean, the top of that list for me has to be Jimmy Butler at this point in time.
Yeah, buckets is awesome.
But we need to kind of unpack that just for a second. The first time that that was broached as a question by Shea, I was thinking about Jimmy because as I've been reading the update, I mean, 56 points. I watched that game yesterday. He was fantastic. He was a DOG. I mean, in a good way. He said, okay, I got no Victor Oladipo. You know, he's not here. I have no Tyler Hero. I got a lead. Jimmy Butler doesn't necessarily want to score 56 points. That's actually not in him. He'd rather not. He's one of these guys that wants to get his and make others better because he wants a championship. He's never one of these guys like, just give me the ball. But in this situation, looking around the roster, he goes, just give me the ball. I'll carry us through. With Giannis back, Giannis not back, I'll do it. But that's not actually Jimmy's makeup over the years. But he just said, you know what, I'm hot, and he was on a heater. At the time, there was a disconnect between Jimmy Butler and the organization, correct?
There was a disconnect. He wanted to stay. And it wasn't so much the disconnect as how do we take the next step?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bulls were resigned to, we got to blow this up. Let's start over.
Could you imagine, though, Butler being on still with the Bulls? Maybe they didn't want another Jordan situation. And I'm not talking about the guy on the floor. I'm talking about someone that's greater than the organization. Because Jimmy... Remember Jimmy, just a defensive guy with Tibbs, right? Coming off the bench. Perfect draft pick because
30th overall.
That's what Tom wanted, though. Your defense first. You'll grow into your game. And we watched him as a young pup grow into his game to be one of the best two-way players in the league. And now, look what he's doing with the Heat. I'm not saying they're winning the championship, but just there's moments where you see Jimmy Butler here with the Heat, Philadelphia, Minnesota, and you say, imagine that kind of scoring, that kind of leadership. Because he's a no-nonsense guy, Jimmy Butler. Imagine that attitude amongst the Bulls now, those guys.
But you would not have LaVine. You would never have had Markkanen, who, by the way, was named NBA Most Improved Player last night.
Yes.
All-star.
He's a good soldier.
Yes. So where would they be?
I'm just saying, like, that's a great... you think about the great moments that he had as a Bull. And you see that 56 points he had yesterday. I mean, I just think that...
That was awesome yesterday.
That's the kind of leadership that you like, though, Cap. You don't have that in that locker room now with the Bulls.
You do not.
The leader of the team is Billy, unfortunately. And it actually should be someone on the... And in this players' league, it should be amongst the players. And who's the leader of the team? Pat Bev? He just got here 2 minutes ago? That's one guy that's on my list. You mentioned Markkanen also.
Yep.
You have regret that he's not on the team?
No, because I think it was time. He even said, I was immature. I just didn't really know how to handle the market and the money and the whole thing. Now he's a really good player in a far more relaxed environment in Utah.
You know, I was thinking about the Bears and about this question, too. And again, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. I want you to think, jog your memory. If you're a Chicago sports fan, the one who got away, you're like, man, I wish he would have stayed in a Chicago uniform.
What if it was one who got away that we passed on in the draft? Then it's easy. It's Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, sure. Sure. It wouldn't have been Trubisky for me, I'll tell you that, in that draft. Not for me. Mm-mm. I thought there was just a reach of reaches based on the 13 games he played in North Carolina. It's like, ah. I wonder if there's someone from the Bears in that list that we're missing. Because I was going through my memories, like, it ain't Brandon Marshall.
No.
Right? It's not Khalil Mack. I was thinking about difference-making players that the Bears have had over the last, say, 10 years.
Yeah, there's really nobody that I go, oh, boy, I wish we still had that guy. No.
Mitch gone to Pittsburgh?
No.
Any Alshon Jeffrey?
No. God, no.
Funny thing about Alshon. Alshon never liked Chicago.
No, he did not.
Almost as if the city was too big for him. It's weird, right? You don't usually get that.
Correct.
New York, you might get that. But Chicago, you're in a Bears uniform. You get embraced. It is weird. He's just like, I just never liked, I mean, just off the record, like, I never liked Chicago.
Right. It was not his cup of tea.
Whatever reason. Just didn't like it here.
He was never actually on the team, but a few people in the Twitch chat are pointing out Patrick Mahomes.
I just said that.
Yes. Because you went draft.
Sorry,
there.
I was screening a call.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
I'm screening this one.
There are other people.
Hello.
That would say Kyle Schwarber.
Would you say that?
No.
You got your championship.
Yes, He's a wonderful, wonderful person. Phenomenal. And he's a really good power hitter.
Now, here's the thing about Schwarbs. Okay, Cap, he's amongst the problems. With Rizzo and Bryant and Baez, all those guys couldn't hit. You had to change the dynamic.
Correct.
He's part of that, too.
Now, the fact that they gave him away, we're not going to tender. That's different.
Well, yeah.
But, like, let's see. What's he hitting this year? He's got 23 games in, 99 plate appearances, 85 at-bats. He's hitting .212 with a .759 OPS and 5 home runs, 10 RBIs.
He's got time.
Yeah. Look, again, he's a really, really good dude and a very talented baseball player.
All right, let's play.
I don't pine for him.
Between now and 10, let's play King of the Mountain. So, Joe, you're the King of the Mountain. Go ahead, Joe. What's your choice?
Greg Maddux.
That's a great one.
They should have paid to keep Maddux. Now, here's a question to you two Cub fans. What are the Cubs doing? You pay Maddux. Do the Cubs even sniff the World Series if you keep them?
No,
based
probably.
Based on those rosters?
Probably not.
Joe?
No, I don't think so.
But he should have stayed. He shouldn't have been a Brave so quickly, right?
That's absolutely true. 18 gold gloves, MVP, Cy Young. I mean, the guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's amazing.
All right, Joe, we appreciate the phone call. Can anyone beat Greg Maddux? 312-332-ESPN. Brian in Des Plaines on ESPN 1000. Hey, Bri.
Hey, real quick, guys, before I get back to work. I'm just going to say Greg Olsen went on to have a great career after the Bears.
Greg Olsen, tight end.
So Greg Olsen was a very good player. I don't pine like, oh, my God, we'd have won the Super Bowl. Like Patrick Mahomes, and I know he never played for us. He's going to go down as one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks ever.
So amongst our callers, Greg
or as
Maddux.
You would have said, a dope with a B on his hat.
Seriously. They're all a dope with a B in their hat until he starts winning.
Right.
Just a B on their cap. So, Cap, so Greg Maddux amongst our callers.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Olsen doesn't win, right? So it's still Joe and Johnsburg with Greg Maddux?
Yes.
He's still the okay.
Yes.
So he's in the lead. CJ on the south side. CJ?
Hey, guys. Fernando Tatis Jr., that horrible trade that went down for the Sox. I'll never get over that one.
But the day that it went down, you didn't go, we traded who? He was like a 16, 17-year-old kid, and you're trying to win. Looking back with the benefit of hindsight, yes.
I got a Hall of Famer so far. It's, again, John and Johnsburg takes Maddux.
Correct.
So he's still in the lead. Derek in Brooklyn listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Hey, Derek.
Yo, yo. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up, D?
What's up, my brothers? Yeah, man, on my wish list, man, I don't know if you guys would agree. I think you might, but Adrian Amos, man, the safety that left us to go to the Packers, man. He was really coming into his own. And then when he went to the Packers, he just took, in my opinion, he got even better. I don't know if you agree, but listen, love you guys. Always listening. Take it easy and go Bears, baby. We're going to do it on Thursday. We're going to do it.
Hope you're right.
All right, my friend.
Our guy, Derek. What about Bobby Hull?
Bobby Hull.
There's a Hall of Famer.
Now, he went to Winnipeg. Where did he go after
the Winnipeg Jets. Mm-hmm. And then, I think he retired as a Winnipeg Jet.
Oh, the WHA?
Yes.
All right. All right, so can you beat Greg Maddux? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. That one sports guy that got away. We talk about this because Jimmy Butler scored 56 for Miami. The one who got away. And also the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day. It's coming up next right here on Chicago's Home for Sport.
The one that got away.
Hey.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Cap and Jay Hood Classic Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. It's rainy. It's a little chilly today. You're not going to sit out on the patio. So come inside and warm up. Have yourself a really good, amazing salad. Have a little dessert and say, I'm going to get through my Tuesday with a bounce in my step. Try the lobster salad with the champagne vinaigrette. Thank me tomorrow. Jay Moore.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
You meet a new woman on a blind date that was set up by your coworker. You meet her at dinner, and you have a great conversation. You ask her to go out again, and then you find some out. She's got a broken leg. Would this be a deal breaker for starting a relationship?
Huh?
She's got a broken leg.
Oh, okay.
Oh!
And she's got a broken leg. Now, if you tell me they're going to amputate the leg, well, that's a different discussion then.
Is it?
Yes.
Why is it different?
You understand what you're getting into.
Why is that different?
Why is that different, Cap?
I feel like, wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
I feel like what you just said is way more heartless.
Why is that heartless?
You're a bad guy there.
Are you keeping that thing or what?
You're a bad guy. It's an amputation different. The positioning, it's not good.
You walk in, she's already seated at the table. Oh, what are the crutches? I have a broken leg.
Yeah, okay, you can deal with that.
How'd that happen? Oh, I was skiing. I broke my leg. I fell, whatever it is. I was working on it. A guy got injured. Oh, how long are you in the cast for? Well, I'm actually having the leg cut off next week.
You're doing what?
You're what? Yeah, they have to amputate it. What?
So then what happens?
You have a decision to make.
Yeah? What's your decision, Cap?
I'm out.
Deal breaker. I don't get why it's different if she's getting the leg amputated. By the way, just to full circle this.
That's so bad.
That's horrible.
Oh, God almighty. That's just the worst.
Cap me like, hey, I'm going to the car real quick.
I got to run out and get milk, honey.
Oh, my God.
I'm out. And that's all, folks.
And that is the Cap and Jay Hood Classic Cut of the Day brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse, David Flom and Matt Moore's Dining Gem at LaSalle on the north side of the Chicago River, and save that day when it's beautiful to sit on their patio.
It is Chicago Cut, not Chicago Amputee. We turn now to the one that got away in sports.
And I could beat all of them.
Uh-huh.
Derrick Rose! Derrick Rose was our guy. He was an MVP. Mm-hmm.
Did he get away? I feel like he just got hurt.
Then he got away. Then we got rid of him.
But it's not like he went away and did a lot.
He actually limped away. Guys.
But the vision of being our MVP and then gone. Like, poof. Like a fart into the night. Gone.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I thought you were going to go hockey, Cap. A lot of our Twitchers are bringing up Dominic Hasek. A lot of people bringing up Chris Chelios.
Dominic Hasek.
It's a Hall of Fame goalie.
Yeah, we had Eddie Belfour. He's in there, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you would have pined for Eddie Belfour.
I love the name of... Hasek, though, when I woke up this morning, I didn't think we mentioned his name on the show. Pretty good.
What Chicago star athlete will not get mentioning? That'd be Dominic Hasek.
Hey, Crawford got the rings, and he's on his way to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Corey Crawford.
I don't know if he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Excuse me?
Corey Crawford?
Does he not have three rings?
Two. Antti Niemi won the other one.
Niemi says no.
Correct.
Okay. Well, two. Yeah.
He's not going to the Hall.
Part of a championship team. Yes, he will.
No shot.
Absolutely.
No shot.
It's amazing. I can put up pro football hockey. He'll be amongst the best of all time. And you change your tune. But I turn my computer off, so I don't have time to prove you wrong. So we'll just agree to disagree.
Save it for tomorrow. Do your homework today.
7:02. Yeah. That'll be tomorrow morning show.
No shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Hasek. Absolutely. We're going to have a writer on to talk about it from the hockey news.
Yeah. I'm off tomorrow.
Me too.
But thank you for listening
Jay Moore.
And calling and twitching, being part of the program. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Jay Moore. How about you and I do this tomorrow?
Love to. It's an honor to be with you. Love you.
Let's do this tomorrow. And I love you too. And I love fatties in DeKalb. I'm on my way.
Used to be called the Crystal Pistol.
UIC against Northern. I'm on my way. So long, everybody. From Chicago.
Take that.